welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Interview. Today I have a fabulous guest, James Coleman. He's got a fabulous short. You guys should check this out if you like fantasy. Chronicles of a Broken Path. Welcome.
Hey, what's up? I'm happy to be here.
So I always like to ask, I mean, where did you show up for this? Did somebody contact you? Did you know the producer? How did you come in contact with this?
So Benjamin Reddick is the brains behind the entire thing. He is a good friend of mine, and I'm a director, and so he wanted me to come on and direct his project. He gave me the script. He gave me a lot of liberty with rewriting some of the lines and dialogue and exploring more of the characters and things like that. And got to really kind of storyboard with them and create a one take fight scene. It's incredible. It's a one take, which is insane. And I was just happy to be on board, and he supported me and I supported him. And what we created was something really special.
Well, we can't let you off the hook that easily. You just said you rewrote stuff. So obviously you weren't happy with something. So why did we have rewrites?
Not so much as there was anything wrong, as much as there was a couple characters I just wanted to explore a little bit more. Tawdry in the film is one of them, and we had
Is Tawdry the one that talks back to everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and she's a fantastic actress, and so I just wanted to give her a little bit more meat to chew on, and I knew that she would kill that character.
So hold on, walk me through. When does this process start? Before you started filming? During filming, when do you start adding lines?
So he sent me the script. It was probably maybe a month before. And
Okay.
Obviously, like, I asked if I can have liberty to kind of rewrite a few things and flush some things out. And he said, of course, I trust you. And she was one that I was really proud of, just not in terms of only the writing, but the way she delivered all the lines. And she was so sassy and just gave it that extra punch, that extra kind of like female kick. And she's a badass. So it was awesome to see her work and work with the lines that we were giving her and the kind of back and forth with the different characters, because she's a sassy chick.
Yeah, I got that. Now, my question is that all acting or is that a personality?
That's all acting, because she's the sweetest. She's so sweet, but she's a phenomenal actress, so she could just turn it on, and I thought she killed it.
Okay, and you say one take fights. Why did we only do one take of the fight? Time commitment?
So yeah, that was a part of it. The script laid out kind of an entire fight scene, and I was talking with him, and I was talking about the time that we had and some of the budgetary stuff. And I was like, dude, if we're gonna do this, we either have to condense this a lot or make it a one take. And so we had a rehearsal, and the rehearsal went really well. And then we got out to the property, and we did it. I think we did it 5 times total. And on the 5th time, I thought it was fantastic. It was great. So. Everybody just came through and pulled through, and I loved it.
Okay, so you came on the project because your friend's a writer. I got that. Where'd the costumes come from?
That was all Benjamin. So he's a fantastic artist. He draws, and so he kind of drew out all the costumes and wardrobe and put those together. And then him and a lot of the other guys on there, they're all buddies, and they go to those fantasy fairs. You know what I'm
I
talking
was
about?
wondering that. That's what I was thinking in my head.
Yeah, so they do a lot of that stuff. So they had a lot of their own wardrobe and gear and armor and weapons and stuff. And so it was really cool to kind of see and pick through and choose everybody's costume. And I thought they all wore them really well. They all fit really well. It wasn't boxy, kind of Amazon type stuff. Like, it looked legit, looked really cool.
So when you came onto the project then, were most of these actors already picked because they had their costumes?
We went through the casting process together, Benjamin and I, and he had a number of guys that he wanted already. And then we kind of casted the Tawdry character and the Bard character and things like that. But he is good friends with them, and they all do stunts. They do stunts together, and they have a stunt. They do stunt choreography for other films, and some of them offer different classes for stunts. And so he's like well networked with that kind of community.
So did you find that was easy for you to work with as a director? You're like, okay, we're going to want to do some stunts here. You're no problem to do them. Were you prepared for that? Or did you know what you were getting, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I do my own stunts as well. I'm
Oh,
also an
okay.
actor. And so, yeah. So it was really cool to be able to talk with them and be like, what are you comfortable with? Can you take this fall? And are you comfortable with this distance and the swords and stuff. And so it was really easy to kind of communicate with the actors and as a stunt person myself to kind of get into that mind space and direct them in that way.
So being a director, an actor, a stuntman, and a writer, you could just do a one-man show, I think. You just have yourself and like little sock puppets, and you might be good to go.
I don't know about the song puppets. But yeah, I mean, as an indie artist, it's hard to break through. And I have my own production company as well, and so you kind of learn these things as necessity, as you kind of have to kind of pick up the slack where there isn't somebody to come and help you. So I've kind of trained myself and learned all the different aspects of film so that anybody can ask me to come on in any capacity and I can contribute in a positive way.
Okay, so as a director, are you DPing this one too?
I did, yes, sir.
Oh my God. Hang on. So how do you, I really got to know how you work your day. So you come on to set, you're a director when you first show up. You're like, hey, I need your hair. You're going to do this line. You can do that. And then you're DPing at the same time. So you really, how do you juggle that at the same time? I mean, obviously, director at first and then DP second, right? I presume we're both at the same time.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I think sometimes, and like I said, in the indie space, you kind of you learn things that maybe aren't traditional in that sense, where I can kind of put on the director's hat, talk to the actors, talk to some of the producers, get things organized, things like that, but then also get behind the lens and find the shots and the choreography and the acting and direct that way. So it's like directing behind the lens. It's a little different, and it can be complicated if your ducks aren't all in a row. But I'm really big on pre-production and getting the things organized up front so that I'm not scrambling when I'm on the day.
How much pre-production do you do for a 10-minute short?
Let's see. Ooh, we did we did the rewrites with the script. We had table read. We did rehearsal. It was also an acting rehearsal as well as the stunt choreography rehearsal. And so I had a pretty good idea of what I was going to do. We went and scouted the land days before, so I knew kind of the landscape and where we'd be. And from there, I just kind of put together a shot list. I knew kind of some of the shots I wanted. The actors came, and I thought they brought their A game. It was pretty easy actually on the day because we shot it all in one day. It was a tight day. We had a lot to do, especially with the one take and the fighting and stuff like that. But two different locations. I don't know if we had like 30 people out there. It was sweet. Everybody, I mean, that's the thing is when you're doing something like that, you need everybody kind of on board and in the same mind space and all connected in that way. And so I thought everybody just brought it and I was really happy with the end result.
Okay, we have two locations. I mean, one's obviously the town. Where is that?
Benjamin, he made a deal with this. There's a church. I can't remember the name of the church. I feel bad, but they have like a Christmas special every year at this town that they've made at the church, and it looks just like that all year long. And then on Easter or on Christmas, they'll kind of do a production over there.
Right.
And so he kind of worked out a deal where, can we borrow that for the film, and in return, I'll come on Christmas and shoot your Christmas special thing. And so I thought that was a really cool and unique way of kind of getting a location like that.
So the second one is the forest location, your second location?
Yes, yeah.
And where's the forest? How far is that from where you shot the town?
It's about 15 minutes, I believe, and that was a friend of his had like some land out there, and they just let him borrow it. And it's Texas though, so I mean there's definitely like allergies and things like that. I know I'm like definitely allergic to trees and stuff, so I was juggling that a little bit, but we went out like I said a few days before and cleared out as much as we could and got rid of the rocks and
You're allergic to trees.
oh man, I'm definitely allergic to trees. Like I did
So,
an
are you
allergy.
wearing a full-on mask while you're filming this forest scene? Because it's a
I
full forest.
no, I wasn't, man. I wasn't. But I remember at the end of the
Wow.
day being like, ooh, it's hard to see. I did an allergy test, and the guy was like, dude, you should not live in Texas. I'm like allergic to all the Texas trees.
Wow. That's insane. I just
I
can't see you
know.
going into a forest. Okay. I'm gonna ask, is this like a trailer to go someplace further with this story? 'Cause I mean, You set me up, but we don't go anywhere, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean that was kind of the intent, was kind of do a really solid proof of concept. There's a feature length script that's I believe is finished, and there's a three picture arc that we want to do. So right now we're still raising money for it. They're still we're still promoting it, we're still pitching it, we're still trying to get all the finances and stuff, just because it's going to be a lot. I mean, what we did with what we had was great, but we want more. We know we can do better. Not be limited by time or budget or anything like that. We know what we want, and we're just working towards achieving that.
I will ask at this point, is there a fundraiser going on for this somewhere you would like
There
to promote?
was, there was, there's not currently, I don't believe. I just texted him too. I was like, "Hey, do we still have something going on?" And he said they're still raising funds, but didn't tell me how. But I mean, if you Google like Chronicles of a Broken Path, something should pop up. Hopefully.
Okay. How hot are the actors in these scenes? Is it because Texas is a very hot place?
Yeah.
And they're
Oh, like
full on wearing armor of some kind and long shirts. So how hot are they?
no, they were burning. One of the struggles with this one was that we didn't have a clear-cut AD, and so I was kind of running both director and AD, and so it was tough to try to. We're fighting the sun. I understand everybody's hot. Let's do quick breaks. We had a small trailer for people to kind of go in and get some AC and stuff like that. But there's a man. It was tough just because you want to be respectful of the actors and the stunt guys and everything like that. But there's also a picture to be made. And so as an AD and a director, I mean, typically the AD is the guy that no one likes on set. He's the guy that gets things done and pushes everybody. And so it was hard to kind of talk to the actors and stuff. I'm like, are you doing okay? Let's try this, but also let's get moving, let's go, kind of thing. And so but they were burning, man. But everyone was a great sport. I don't remember hearing any kind of complaints. I mean, we were all hot. I'm running around. I just got a new tattoo on my shoulder too, and it was like
Are
flaking from
you
the summer. It
crazy?
burned. I know. It was burned. I burned my shoulder.
You got a new
So
tattoo. You're going to a bunch of trees. I'm just on a personal note, wear a mask, maybe.
That's actually a great idea, and I should do that more.
Sorry, I
I never
apologize
do.
for reflecting on what you should be doing, but I'm just worried about your health for next time you're coming back on the
Yeah,
show.
I feel like no one else is wearing a mask. I shouldn't wear a mask. I want to kind of be relatable, you know?
I
I don't know.
understand, but you're allergic to trees.
Yeah.
Okay, I presume all the actors made their own equipment, so all the swords and everything they brought with them.
Yes, so some of them were custom made, I believe, and then Ben is he hoards this stuff. He loves finding unique looking weapons. He's got a whole library of different stuff. I remember at the rehearsal, like we just laid them all out on the floor, and we got to pick this one goes with this character, this one goes with this character, and stuff like that. And that was a blast. And then to kind of see it in their hands and how it feels, and oh, that doesn't quite work. Let's try this one, and so he's got a huge collection of that, and anytime he gets a chance to buy a new piece of armor or gear or anything like that, he's so quick to grab it. So he's definitely like a wardrobe guy. And then Matt Portras, who is another director as well, he provided some armor and swords and stuff with, and he custom makes all that stuff.
So it sounds like when you get to the film, you could have a gigantic battle scene.
Oh, for sure, yeah. We, I mean, the lore behind it. That was such a small part of the
Well,
overall.
I realize that.
Yeah. So there is, if we can do it the way we want to do it, it's massive. I mean, it's Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones and fantasy and Dragon Kings and stuff. It's pretty wild, man.
What was in the wagon? The woman, it looked like a wheelbarrow, but maybe it's a different term in medieval times. What was in the wheelbarrow that she was pushing, and was it heavy?
Like actually pushing, like what was really in there?
Yes.
It was waters for everybody.
Is
So
that what was in there?
yeah, so everyone, if people needed a water break, they go to the wagon and grab
That's
it. And
awesome.
she was such a trooper because she had to push that thing, and it was a slight uphill, and
Yes.
so she kept hitting rocks. But I mean, and we had to do that, you know, a number of times till we got it right, and different angles, different takes, and she didn't complain once. And of course, it's hot, it's summer, it's Texas, we're in the woods, and that was awesome. But yeah, there was like snacks and waters in there.
That's funny. I always wanted to know what's really in the things.
Yeah.
So when you're shooting this, I find you shoot tight the whole time. I call it tight shooting when you're up close. Not close-ups, just up close. I mean, you are giving me mostly a body shot. Was the problem going wide? You couldn't show me the wide shots because you would ruin things for the world, or you wanted to keep it very tight?
A bit of both. So, because we were on a time constraint, we wanted to achieve this in one day. There was a number of shots that we wanted that couldn't get. A drone shot specifically was one. And then, I mean, every time you change lenses and stuff, and I didn't have an AC, somebody to kind of help me with camera gear. So it's just me running back and forth, directing people, AD, grabbing lenses and doing all that stuff. So you kind of lose a little bit of time, which again is budgetary. If we had the budget to do 2 days, we could have maybe explored a little bit more of that kind of thing. But then at the end of the day, it's just let's get what we need. And then if we have time, we can get some special stuff. And I'm still really proud of what we got, even though we had to cut some stuff.
That's
But
fine.
there wasn't any like, let's not go wide because we're afraid to show XYZ or anything like that.
Okay. Visual effects, you do have a couple, but obviously you knew where they were coming. I mean, you as a director knew where they were going to go. So who did the visual effects? And did you decide on the color of the visual effects, or you just accepted what you got?
So I was gonna do the visual effects initially, and then but Ben wanted to bring on his he's got a really great VFX guy. His name is Chill, and I thought he did a great job. I was happy with it, if that's your question. But I loved it. But we did build it in. The wizard goes and he becomes invisible with this kind of force field safety shield thing, and then Benjamin's kind of like smashed down with his sword and stuff like that. So but that's just again just a taste of what we want to do in the future.
Music.
Music was also it was done by the actress who played the bard, so she also did the score for that.
Okay. Oh, really?
So she's a terrific artist, music artist, and Ben wanted to incorporate her a little bit more like in the film, and so she created all the music for that.
Because I was a little annoyed. I laughed at the film because at one point she says, "Any requests or anything you want?" And you don't dig into that. I was kind of hoping the sassy lady would say something.
I thought that was so funny. And again, just kind of playing into her strengths. And she was like, I can play Fields of the Sun. Like, that's no one, we don't know what that is, but that world
Yeah.
knows what that is. And we just thought it was funny not to talk about it anymore.
Okay, fair enough. I also want to discuss, you have a new trailer coming out, and you DP'd it. You didn't direct it, so why didn't you direct it? Only DP it.
So this one is not fantasy, totally different subject matter. And a great friend of mine, her name is Keisha CG. She had a terrific script with a terrific story, and we're always collaborating and going back and forth on text or Zoom meetings and stuff. And so there was a lot of pre-production with this one as well, and I got to come in and do the lighting. I'm helping her with color. I'm gonna score it, and I got to DP it as well with some other fantastic actors who I know as well. And so that was really great to kind of work with her on this one. And it's a drama, so it's a troubled kid and kind of the repercussions of his actions with his parents. So as he gets in
So,
trouble and stuff, there's like a strong parent, and then there's I don't know, they're both loving parents, but they love him in different ways. And
is there
kind
a
of
pro
the struggle with that.
is this just a proof of concept, or is there a feature coming?
I believe she has a feature in mind for sure. Yeah. Anytime I work with anyone, I always kind of ask, is it just a short film? Is there future projects? What's the bigger picture here? And I tend to kind of lean into the ones that have the kind of larger vision.
Probably think so. It's more money and more time.
Yeah, I mean, you can flesh out the characters a bit more. Things don't seem so rushed, and yeah, so working on features is the goal.
Excellent. Okay. Your favorite film?
Whoa, man, of all time?
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta go Back to the Future.
Now you're a young kid. That's fine. I'm old enough to see Back to the Future in theaters, so that tells you how old I am.
Well, I didn't see it in theaters, but ever since I was a kid, I've loved, and I actually like all three. So,
Ooh, even two?
I thought two was great, man.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of two. I love one and three, but three is pretty much just one all over again.
That's true. That's fair. But I loved it. There's so much thought that went into that, and it still stands to this day. The VFX work still really works,
Oh,
and
absolutely. Especially on three. It's beautiful on three.
I mean, it's. I think they stand the test of time, and it's time travel movies are tricky, but I think they did it in a really cool way. I don't know if you know this, but like, Marty McFly is kind of driving in his DeLorean, and he runs over one of the pines of
I
the
know it's
Twin
gone at
Pines.
the end. When he comes back, there's only one.
But it's the mall is called Twin Pines Mall,
Yes.
and when he returns to the mall in the future, it's called I think it's just called like Pine Mall.
Yeah, something
But
like that, because there's only
it's such
one
a
pine
small,
left.
it's such a small detail, but I'm like, there's a lot of thought that went into that. And that's the kind of stuff I really am drawn to. I
Okay,
love those details.
one actor you'll work with in the future?
It's gotta be Brad Pitt, my absolute favorite.
Oh, you better hurry out. He's doing some good choices. You're gonna have to work hard to get Brad Pitt.
I know, and he's talking about retiring soon. I'm like, I gotta hustle, man. But he's my favorite. I love everything he does. Again, ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to. I started a fight club when I was in high school because I.
Good choice.
Yeah, I mean that's not smart at all. But I just thought he was the coolest, and I still think he's the coolest.
One film you recommend to people to watch and they never have.
Dang, you know which one I really enjoyed? And when people ask me like my top three movies, I always say Lawless. Have you seen that one?
I think I have. I mean, I would have to look it up. Pretty sure I have. Who's in it?
It's Tom Hardy and Shia
Yes.
LaBeouf,
I
and
have
it's
seen it.
the kind of prohibition. Yeah,
Yes,
man,
I have seen.
I loved that one. I loved it. And
Okay,
when I talk to people, no one's ever heard of it. I'm like, that's so crazy.
it didn't do well in theaters. It came out in the summer, didn't it, or late summer?
Yeah, something like that. And it's a few years old, but
Yeah.
man, I loved it. I think Tom Hardy is fantastic in it, and I'm a Shia LaBeouf fan. I think he's cool. I think he's a good actor, and their camaraderie together is really great. And I like the story. I'm from Tennessee myself originally, so I can kind of identify with the backwoods of stories like
Fair
that. So,
enough.
yeah.
Before I let you go, pimp out your website or whatever project you'd like to get off your chest. It's a good time.
Okay. Let's see. If you want to kind of stay in touch with me or what I'm working on, my Instagram is the thing that's going on right now. It's James Drake Coleman on Instagram. I have a feature length called Isolation. It's in distribution now. They just sent me the poster and the trailer, and it looks so fantastic. I got an email with like a list of 20 other producers and production companies and stuff that are wanting to sign on and push this thing. And so we're looking for streaming, and it's coming soon. And it's a full length sci-fi. It's fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Awesome. You as well. Thank you.